gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Hey, I love America. Just want you to know that on the front end of the broadcast today. And, of course, the question is, well, what do I mean by that? And I'm not sure that a lot of Christians ask themselves what they mean by that. You know, I love America. I'm a patriot, that kind of thing. For me, I think it means, you know, I love the principles upon which the nation was founded, principles of freedom, liberty, justice for all, the inherent natural rights, God-given rights that we have, the life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, those things. I love, having those things, even though they're being torn away, being eroded in major ways these days. But to say that I love America, that's what that means. I love the people. I love living here. I mean, I live in one of the probably best spots on the planet. I mean, I don't live on a cliff overlooking an ocean or anything like that. That'd be nice. But anyway, I love it. Now, here's the other thing. If I were born in Germany or Japan, I might say I love Germany. I love Japan. Not that I would love, as a Christian, Hitler. Don't love Hitler's policies. Nope. That goes without saying, right? But I might love the people. I might love the land. And I might love some of the principles that some of the folk in Germany propagate. I'm just saying, look, there's a big difference between America and the church, between America and the people of God. And ultimately, while I'm a citizen here in the United States of America, my ultimate citizenship is in heaven. And you know that. And we have Christians that have citizenship in Germany, Japan, Canada, China, France, all over the world. But if they're Christians, ultimately their citizenship is in heaven as well. And so our ultimate allegiance is to King Jesus. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit. That's why I wanted to say at the outset, I'm not an America hater, I promise you. But you know what? I think in some sense we want to preserve America. And what do we mean by that? The freedom and the liberty that we have. The right to pursue happiness right here in this great land, we want to preserve that. And if that way of life is going away, well, that's a problem. It's a problem for us. It's a problem for those who live here. But ultimately, I'm not that worried about it because, again, I'm ultimately allegiant to King Jesus. My citizenship is in heaven. But what we want to do is see the preservation of this land through the gospel lens, not just an American lens. And what does it mean to see or want to see the preservation of this land through a gospel lens? Well, it means that we want more and more people to exalt Christ. How does that happen? Gospel. They get saved. We want the gospel to have influence in society on people's spiritual lives, but also the practical implications, the practical ramifications of the gospel, one of those being liberty. You don't have liberty without the gospel. Anywhere in the world, you have people that believe in liberty or countries that are more liberty-minded than other or whatever, or than others, or whatever the case may be. It all goes back to a biblical worldview, whether they recognize that or not, whether they affirm that or not, because again, on an evolutionary worldview, survival of the fittest. There's no such thing as liberty. Who cares? Who cares about you? It's all about me, right? On a postmodern worldview, a relativistic worldview, again, it's whatever makes me happy. Who cares about you? It's all about me. So, again, and you can take any ism, any philosophy in the world, And there might be some pragmatic reasons. You know, you take Ayn Rand, the atheist libertarian from a bygone era. She believed in liberty. I'm glad she did. There were selfish motives, though, that she had for believing in liberty. And the point I'm making is that liberty cannot be sustained ultimately on human motives or selfish motives, because ultimately people are all about themselves and they're not about others when push comes to shove, including Ayn Rand. So what am I saying? I'm saying if anybody truly loves liberty and justice for all, anybody truly thinks about others, it's rooted in a biblical worldview. That's my point. I could spend a lot of time proving that, and maybe we'll do that on another occasion. I've already given another lengthy preamble, as I'm prone to do. But I wanted to give that preamble in light of a story I came across. Let me say, in addition to the fact that I love America, I love Todd Starnes. I do. I agree with him most of the time. But, you know, I don't even agree with my mother all the time. And I love my mother. She's listening today, so know that, Mom. But we don't agree on everything. But she'll come along one day, no doubt, Brother Gary. What you think? She'll come along one day. I think Gary signed with Mom. Anyway, Todd Starnes had a commentary not too long ago. He starts off this way. Students at Pine Bush High School in Pine Bush, New York, knew right away there was something not quite right about the Pledge of Allegiance. That's because the pledge is being recited in Arabic. Now, by the way, let me just say, I don't think they'll recite the pledge in Arabic. Some of you are trying to guess where I'm going with this. But hang on. I think I'm probably going to surprise you, but maybe not that way. But anyway, as they began to recite this pledge in Arabic, essentially, here's what was said: one nation under Allah. Well, the student body president got in trouble. He's the one, he or she, I'm not sure, but whoever the student body president is, announced this over the intercom system. And reaction in this particular school here in upstate New York was swift. The backlash was there. The Times Herald Record, by the way, is reporting this, according to Todd Starnes. Anyway, furious students tried to shout down the recitation in their classrooms. Well, you know what? I'm not sure that I would have expected students to do that, but in a very real sense, good for them. Good for them. Other students sat down in protest. Okay, good for them too. Not sure what all the motives were, but okay, just on the surface, we'll grant you that. School Superintendent Joan Carbone told the newspaper that the Arabic pledge divided the school in half, noting that many complaints came from Jewish parents and from those who had lost family members fighting the war on terror. So again, you know, I pledge allegiance, blah, blah, blah. I don't mean it that way. I don't mean it sacrilegiously or disrespectfully. I pledge allegiance, etc. Then they came to the line, one nation under Allah. So the student body, the school, they're torn in half. All right, now, got complaints. Here's what was going on. The school said that the pledge was being recited in Arabic as a way to honor National Foreign Language Week. It was an effort to celebrate the many races, the many cultures, the many religions that make up, in their words, this great country. Well, you know what? That's fine. That's part of what it means to be America. We, you know, give me, you're tired, you're poor, you're hungry, the whole Statue of Liberty, you know, we have different races and cultures and religions that make up this great country, and we want different, you know, religions to be free to worship the way they want to worship. We want to be free to worship the way we want to worship. That's what this civil society, America, is all about. It is about a pluralistic society and diversity and freedom. Now, that does not mean that I think all of these other religions are right. Of course they're not. They have the freedom to believe what they want to believe, but obviously we know that there's only one true and living God, and he's revealed himself to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this free country, we can believe what we want, but we can also try to persuade one another of what the truth is. Now, you understand that. I don't need to get bogged down there. I'm just kind of clarifying along the way as I go. But, okay, so here's this school. They're trying to celebrate the diversity here in our culture. And it said that the pledge throughout the week had been recited in other languages. And again, that's what America is. But Starnes went on to talk about how the pledge really should be recited in English. And, of course, you know many of the arguments there. We speak English primarily here in America. As one student said, you know, yeah, we've been reciting it in other languages, you know, Spanish and French. But, you know, how many people speak Arabic in America? And so the real issue was reciting it in Arabic. And the real issue was the use of the word Allah. And I understand that. I understand that. But let's think a little bit deeper. Let's think Christianly. Here's a question I want you to think about. Is America really one nation under God? Now, listen, I know, and I've had bring my mom back into this, had long conversations with her. She understands where I'm coming from. I think at first it's very difficult if you've never thought about that, or if you love the pledge, you know, that line, one nation under God. It's very difficult to wrap your head around what I'm trying to say. But is America really one nation under God? Well, it's not in a Christian sense. I mean, first off, America, we're not like Old Covenant Israel. You know, Israel, Old Covenant Israel, ancient Israel, they stood in a unique covenant relationship with God. Israel, in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, was called the people of God. And God had chosen them, and God had blessed them. He had a covenant with them. We won't get into all the implications of that covenant, etc. But here's the reality. America does not stand in covenant relationship with God the same way that Old Covenant Israel did. God has not made a covenant with America like that. Now, let me take that one step further. God, his the new covenant, you know, which the Old Covenant typified, and ancient Israel typified, the Old Covenant people of God, within the nation, there were those who were saved, who believed in the coming Messiah, who believed the promises of God, but the vast majority of the Israelites were not saved. But they were still called the people of God. They were in this earthly covenant relationship. This it wasn't a salvation covenant. It was a covenant for earthly blessing or cursing, you know, and it set them apart from the pagan nations round about them. But it was a picture, the Old Covenant people of God, was a picture of the true people of God. And the true people of God is the church. And the church is comprised of Jews and Gentiles who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's what I'm saying as we go into break here in just a moment. America does not stand in the same covenant relationship that the people of God do. People of God today being the church, those who have faith in Jesus Christ, that's the people of God. That's the people under the new covenant, who are in the new covenant. And that is not America. So we'll talk about the implications of that on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Dean's List. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
On the next Handle on the Law.
Unemployment, the national debt, IRS scandals. Of course the government should get involved with that. How about cruise ships? Cruise ships! Congress is trying to pass a passenger's bill of rights to protect you from crappy cruises. Sometimes literally. That and so much marginal legal advice, you wish there was a listener's bill of rights.
Handle on the Law, Sunday nights at 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller with Plan First. When I co-founded Plan First over 30 years ago, I had no idea the journey God had for me. I am burdened more than ever that Christians be good stewards of the resources God has put them in charge of. They should be prudent investors, minimizing income and estate taxes, and giving to kingdom ministries now, not just in their will. If you'd like to see if Plan First is a good fit for you, call me at 233-7405. Or if you are out of the Greenville area, 1-800-588-7526.
Hi, Alex McFarland, Jason Jimenez here, inviting you to Truth for a New Generation, the conference on apologetics and evangelism. Live in person, hear Lee Strobel, Dr. Alveda King, the Benham Brothers, David and Jason, and evangelist Will Graham. Don't miss Truth for a New Generation.
That's right, Alex. This year's theme is Jesus, America's Hope. You don't want to miss it. September 18th and 19th at First Baptist Spartanburg. Go to truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
It was my choice, his choice, their choice, our choice. I felt I had no other choice. Afterward, there was only sorrow and regret. I felt there was no hope. Where could I turn? Who would understand? Then I heard there was a safe place where I could share my grief, guilt, pain, and find recovery. Call Abortion Recovery Assistance of Piedmont Women's Center at 864-244-1434. It is confidential, loving, and supportive.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archive broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome back into the Dean's List. You know, I should have said from the outset, and I'll say it now, listen all the way to the end. You may still disagree with my conclusion in the end, but at least you'll know where I'm coming from. Hopefully, you'll agree with it, though. But Gary and I were talking during the break, and Gary had a good question, a great question, penetrating question. Gary, won't you just share that? I couldn't phrase it exactly the way you did. Go ahead.
When you were talking about the article, you mentioned that when they were saying the pledge in Arabic, that some of the students felt like they needed to protest in some way. Some of them sat down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Others, I don't know if I couldn't remember what the others did, whether they left the classroom or they started, you know, maybe saying something or shouting or doing something to protest. And so,
right.
If Paul Dean had been there as a high school student or whatever, and you hear this going on, Pledge of Allegiance in Arabic to Allah.
Yeah.
Would there have been something in you that said, I need to protest in some way? Would you have sat down, or would you have just said, you know what, it's foreign language week, I'm just going to let it go, let them finish
it? Yeah, man, good question. Let me answer this in two phases of my life, if that's okay. And I do that because I think it'll be helpful as I go along. A number of years ago, I would have protested in probably the more vociferous way that some of these students did. I'd have maybe tried to say, no, you guys are wrong, you can't do this. Maybe try to, who knows what, you know, say the real pledge in English louder. And I would have done that for two reasons. Number one, you know, I guess, let me put it this way. Like I said at the outset, I love America. I'm not one of those America haters or America bashers. But I don't look at America in exactly the same way that I did before my understanding was informed by the scriptures. And so back then, I think that America had an exalted position in my heart that it might not should have. And so as a good American, I would have said, you know, this is one nation under God, and you guys, you can't be saying this, you know, because one of the same God, the same view of America, et cetera, et cetera. Probably for much the same reason that those students there did. I would have probably also affirmed the whole English thing. This is our language, you know. Y'all come here. Y'all got to learn our language. The other thing is, I certainly don't regard, and I wouldn't have years ago, Allah as God. And so my view of God, of course, is the God of the Bible, the Christian God. And that's part of where I'm coming from with where I'm going. But now to bring it into today, what would I do today if I were a high school student, knowing what I know, thinking the way I think? Well, I don't know that I would shout anyone down because I'd want to be kind. I certainly would not recite the pledge in Arabic.
But it's foreign language.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, you know, if any kind of protest, I'd probably sit there in silence and then hope for an opportunity for dialogue. At the same time, you know, you have to think about the pledge even in English and what you're saying. And that's where I'm going to go in the next few minutes.
Is that in? Okay.
Yeah.
Because even, like if they said it in French, they would still mention God, but they would use the French word for God. It doesn't mean they're changing. It just means I'm French, or if I'm Spanish, I'll say Dios or something
like that.
So it's not that I'm changing it, but when you say Allah, then all of a sudden
you're talking about a different God.
There's a different God.
Is that where you're going?
Yes, that, and I think also the fact that these students have probably seen, unfortunately, I hope they haven't, but maybe have seen some of these videos of people that have been tortured by those that claim Allah. The Boko Haram, the girls that were taken off into slavery, the children who were beheaded, these things, crucifixions going on in the Middle East.
Horrible.
And perhaps with that as a background, and, of course, 9/11, and then all of a sudden we're saying this in our schools, somebody is going, wait a second, I don't think this is what we had in mind when we thought we were going to be saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
Even in a foreign language. And maybe that's why there's this this drawback.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things that Todd Starnes points out is that in America, now it seems that, you know, while Christianity, for example, is being marginalized, Islam is being given accommodation, political correctness, and on and on we could go. And I think on the one hand that we are naive to, give certain accommodations because obviously there are radical terrorist Islamic groups who are doing these horrible things.
Right.
And they would say, you know, it's part of their religion. Now, you have individuals from any religion who claim that God told them to do this and they do horrible things. But this is part and parcel of their worldview. I mean, it's a significant number, and we're at war with Islamic terrorists, right, and all the rest. So I think we're naive if we don't recognize that. I also think we're naive if we don't recognize that there are a lot of so-called peace-loving Muslims who might not be so peace-loving. They're just biding their time. I think we're naive if we say, well, there's, you know, all the Muslims here, they're just peace-loving. On the other hand, as Christians, you know, we don't need to declare a particular individual, you know, guilty before, you know, they do something, and we want to reach out to folk regardless of, you know, whether they're Muslims or not, with the gospel and love, those kinds of things. And I can see you nodding your head, so you agree with that. So I think there's a biblical balance in the way we ought to feel about that. I mean, sometimes I hear some conservative folk, not necessarily Christian, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but they'll say, you know, we just need to wipe them all out. Well, you know, neither you nor I believe that we should do that. They're human beings created in the image of God, and they need Jesus.
Exactly.
They need Jesus. So, so with all that in mind, I agree with what Todd Starnes is lamenting. You know, he laments, let me scroll down and get the exact quote here. He laments, he says, oh my goodness, I've lost it. Oh well. He basically says that, based on the comments made by the student body president, it appears the Arabic recitation was less about celebrating a foreign language and more about stirring up trouble. In my most recent book, Godless America, I illustrate how the nation's public schools have been turned into indoctrination centers. Teachers are preaching a liberal ideology. Our schoolhouses have become places where Christianity is marginalized and Islam is given accommodation. He's right. And so I can understand the protest. But now, here's what I wanted to say. Let's just think. Do we really believe, and I know you don't. Now, you might not agree with my conclusion. But at least this question.
Right.
Do we believe that America is the people of God? Well, we don't. And so part of what I want to argue here as well, in addition to what we've said, is that to say that we're one nation under God, that's really civil religion. It's not Christianity. And I, as a Christian preacher, a pastor, this is where I'm coming from. Okay, I could say I love America, but I also need to say the whole concept of one nation under God is not a Bible concept. It's a civil concept. And it's civil religion. And frankly, civil religion is idolatry because by nature, it's false worship. It's a false premise. It distorts the reality of who God is. And there's an illustration in the article itself. Now, listen to this. I read this a moment ago, or at least before the break, but I'll read it again. School Superintendent Joan Carbone told the newspaper that the Arabic pledge divided the school in half, noting, now here's the key line, noting that many complaints came from Jewish parents. Well, now that's significant. Because the truth is, and please don't take me the wrong way, but think about it. Love Jewish people. Paul said he wished he could be a curse for his brethren, the Israelites, who didn't know God. But the point is, the Jews do not worship the same God that we worship. They don't worship the same God that we worship any more than Muslims worship the same God that we worship. So why were Jewish parents upset? I mean, do they think that when they pledged the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America, one nation under God, do they think that this is one nation under the Jewish God? Well, probably. What do Christians think? Well, we think it's one nation under the Christian God. And so here's these Muslims over here saying Allah, thinking we're one nation under Allah. The point I'm making is that everybody's got a different view of God, and that's why to say one nation under God is really idolatrous in its civil religion. Now, what we could say is, or what some people would say is, well, you know, the original intent was the Christian God, and that's the God that's being referred to in the pledge. Well, that's probably true. That's probably true. I'm not saying, you know, we should change it to Allah. I'm certainly not advocating that. I'm saying let's get rid of the language altogether. We're not one nation under God. We're one nation. Is God sovereign over this nation as well as every other nation? Absolutely. But what we're doing, I think, is confusing the nation with the church. And that's what I don't want to do. And here's a question for you. What does the phrase mean? Let's say you like it, one nation under God. You need to ask yourself, what one nation under God? What do I mean by that? And go to the scriptures and kind of compare what you mean by that to see if it's a biblical concept. See if it's a biblical concept. So I don't want to be guilty of idolatry. So let's just get rid of the language altogether. Now, I'm not out here, you know, in some sort of lobbying effort for that. That's not the point. I'm using this to launch into some biblical ideas, and I'm using it to launch into this last dynamic as we wrap it up today. Here's my question. This is a government school. I've said it before. I'll say it again. What do you expect? Yes, Christians are being marginalized now, but do you want to impose Christianity on others? Well, if you do, then I don't think you understand America. I don't think you understand freedom. Listen, I believe the gospel with all my heart, and many Christians say they do. But if we don't understand the difference between the church and America, and if we don't understand the Bible, if we don't understand the gospel implications in a civil society, which is liberty and justice for all, we don't understand the gospel. And so our allegiance is not to America, but to King Jesus, and it's the gospel that will overcome.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.